In an increasingly digitized and globalized world, social media has become an important tool for public diplomacy. This is especially true for Taiwan due to its limited opportunities for more traditional approaches in diplomacy, such as participation in international organizations. This episode, we will talk to Jiayou Guo about why digital outreach is important for Taiwan and how social media can be leveraged to create people-to-people ties. So, let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Taiwan Salon, the Global Taiwan Institute's Cultural Policy and Soft Power podcast. My name is Adrian Wu, the host of Taiwan Salon and a research assistant at GTI. Today, we are joined by Jiayou Guo, the founder and president of the Taiwan Digital Diplomacy Association, or TDDA. Founded in 2017, TDDA is an NGO connecting Taiwan and the world through social media and public diplomacy. As the recipient of the Excellent Contribution Award from Taiwan's Department of NGO International Affairs in 2020, TDDA has launched projects in collaboration with over 20 countries and regions, including Japan, Vietnam, and Latin America. Thank you so much for joining us, Jiayou. So the name of your organization is TDDA, the Taiwan Digital Diplomacy Association. Can you talk about what digital diplomacy refers to specifically? How is digital diplomacy different from more traditional diplomacy? And why is it so important for Taiwan?
When it comes to digital diplomacy, I think it means building trust and global partnership of content sharing. Because every country has the demand of promoting their national image or delivering message to the international world. So digital diplomacy is an approach to find the right channels for your messages to help your country to shape a public image within international audiences. For example, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are social media channels we are the most familiar with. And for example, like USAID has almost 400,000 followers on Instagram to deliver the message of the American government's efforts on international development, which is also a good example of American government's digital diplomacy. And digital diplomacy is, I think, is under the definition of public diplomacy, which is also an important part of traditional diplomacy. So sometimes people they see digital diplomacy as a replacement of traditional diplomacy, but actually I would say it's a complementary of each other. Although traditional diplomacy focuses more on economic or military interests, we still cannot ignore the influence of the value exchange in public diplomacy, which is invisible but has a long-term influence on our diplomacy works.
So you're talking about how digital diplomacy can kind of complement traditional diplomacy and how they can work together. Do you see the different areas of digital diplomacy versus traditional diplomacy being carried out by different actors? Do you think that digital diplomacy is more in the realm of civil society actors, or should it be an effort by both civil society actors and the government?
I think traditional diplomacy it most of the time is carried out by the government. But for public diplomacy, there is some space for civil society to participate in it. I would say that the government and civil society should work hand in hand digital diplomacy, because there are a lot of different information channels to shape your national branding or your national image. It's impossible for just the government to finish or to produce all the content on all the channels. I think civil society definitely have to participate in it, be a part of it, because it's better that the more channel, the better. So I think the government and the civil society can work together, it would be the best outcome for the public diplomacy. And I think Taiwanese society is still having the mindset of doing diplomacy is the government's job, which make it difficult for us to start our job in 2017, to be honest. But during the pandemic, I think the Taiwanese government, they have realize the importance of digital diplomacy and how to cooperate with NGOs. For instance, Taiwanese NGOs has played a very strong role in connecting Taiwan with foreign organizations. They have done a lot of charity work, medical cooperation, or experienced sharing on international media during the pandemic. So I think in the past few years, Taiwanese government, they started to realize that cooperating with NGOs is also a way of doing public diplomacy or digital diplomacy.
Speaking of how the Taiwan government is now recognizing the importance of digital diplomacy, what do you think are some of the strengths and challenges that are unique to Taiwan when it comes to digital diplomacy?
I would say information in Taiwanese society goes very fast, not only because we have a high penetration rate of the internet, but also because Taiwanese are good at processing information. Whenever some big news happen, a lot of infographics or articles would just show up on the internet and explain the situation to people. Like when CACIS has published a report this January, I remember it's a report about how many days that Taiwan can defeat China if they attacked. And people started to make it into web pages, infographics, and try to summarize the report on social media, like within 2 weeks. However, I think the challenges for Taiwanese would be the cultural interpretation. When you want to deliver a message to a foreign society, you need to understand the language, not only the language, but also the culture they have, which is not the strength of Taiwanese, I would say. And this is why we established TDDA to help Taiwanese society to interpret the message to the international world and also to help them find the international channels to speak our words. The original purpose of founding TDDA was because I saw whenever there are some NGO try to advocate themselves in other countries or whenever Taiwanese government try to do some international project or do some international events. In a lot of situations that whenever they have the events abroad, only local Taiwanese or Chinese community would participate in it, which means they don't really have the channels to communicate with the local society, or they don't have the channels to reach out the local audience. And because I was doing kind of media job before, so I think if there is an organization can help not only the government, but also the civil society to find the channels to communicate with local society, it might be nice. People are very focused on their own job, and the communication job, it takes a lot of time. Maybe we need another group of people doing this. So we have found, I founded TDDA in 2017. And yeah, the first couple of years, we try hard to convince people or convince Taiwanese government that they do need a small team to assist them to do the promotion job. And I think it kind of worked out these years. And we believe that, you know, building connection with foreign society is not only helping, it not only help the diplomacy work, but also help us to promote or to exercise our influence more widely this way. So I think the core value of TDDA is power of trust and connection. We build real connection with local organizations and local medias, and then we talk to them about what Taiwanese really want to do with their society, what we can work together, why we can be partners together. So I think this is the mission of TDDA.
But creating content about Taiwan is not enough. The content also needs to resonate with local communities, and TDDA does this through social listening.
Like how do you reach out to the local society or local audience? The approaches we use, I would say, is social listening. Whenever we started a new project, whenever we want to communicate with a foreign society, we would spend a couple of weeks, sometimes just within a couple of days, to stay their social media and to translate the social media posts and people's comments about some specific topics. We would also use some trending watching tools, some digital tools to watch the trending of the social media and to see what is the most popular topics that can attract people's attention there. So for example, when we when we were facing the situation of that Honduras might break the diplomatic ties with Taiwan, we try to collect people's opinions about what is their opinions about Taiwan-Honduras relation or Honduras-China relation. And we try to produce political cartoons based on the local style, and to talk about that if Honduras want to be friends with the US, maybe they should stand with Taiwan also, something like that. So we would try to mimic the way they talk or mimic the visual style they are used to, and try to influence people's opinion on social media, or try to promote the partnership of local society and Taiwan. This is the approaches we use. Yeah, so we have another project about cyber defense. I would say it's more like a project about message design. Even though even Taiwanese are good at processing information, but I think if we are facing the situation, maybe like wartime, if we are facing the situation of war, there is another way of deliver message or processing information. So the cyber defense project, mostly we will collaborate with other 8 different NGOs, and we try to train people how to process information on internet and communicate with the international world to deliver or to convey our demand during the wartime, or what is our arguments like within international media. So it's more like, yeah, it's a public message design project. We hope that we can learn some experience from Ukrainian as well, because during the Ukraine-Russia war, we can see that many Ukrainian, they have built website, information websites, or they have created a lot of social media content to keep this topic alive. They have done a lot of works on this, and I think most of the people, they focus a lot on the military tech or how Ukrainian defend themselves physically, but I think internet is also another battlefield that people have to learn about how to use information to protect themselves or to seek for more help from the international world. So this cyber defense project mostly is about that. So like, we provide training for people from different backgrounds. It depends on what is the job or what is the interest of you. We also have training for just maybe college students. College students, they can learn how to share international news correctly, or how to summarize Taiwanese situation to the international world in English. So yeah, and one of the training I think might be interesting is that we also have course for overseas Taiwanese. For overseas Taiwanese, they can contact foreign media, they can contact foreign politicians, or they can translate the situation in different language. They have a lot of contacts and language skills. So yeah, so we are trying to divide people into different roles on the cyber defense part, because we believe that people can be mobilized if they got a role and know where is their position.
So we've been talking about TDDA's projects. We talked about social listening and how TDDA reaches out to local communities, as well as the Cyber Defense Network project. I also know that TDDA held a digital diplomacy workshop with Facebook, and I'm really curious about what some of your findings and motivations were. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
I think the original purpose of Meta to create this digital diplomacy workshop was that they want to promote this tool. They want to promote their platform, which is Facebook, to diplomats or to Taiwanese government. I think it is a good intention, because Taiwanese government, they actually try to open a lot of Facebook fan page this year. Especially we have embassies abroad, and all of them, they have a fan page basically, and they also have the ranking of how is the performance of each other's Facebook page. So I think providing a training for diplomats is necessary, because when the first couple of years the Taiwanese government started to do it, they just assign random people to do the fan page, or the youngest one in the office to do the fan pages, but they don't provide the real training for them. So people, they would do the fan pages in any kind of way they want, or it very depends on their personal skills. So when Facebook started this digital diplomacy workshop 3 years ago, we were very happy to be the partner of it, and we try to invite different speakers who have the skills of Facebook or social media communication skills to share with the diplomats about how to communicate with their local audience. And I think the feedback is quite good, because some diplomats, they will come to us after the course and saying that they didn't know that Facebook can be used this way, or they didn't know that Facebook can actually help their communication work with the local society. Because like the KPI of our embassies abroad, it would be like how many local media they get on, or how many local people participate in their events. And actually social media is a good platform to post the information, to share the information, and also to promote Taiwan. Yeah, to promote Taiwan. So I think how to use Facebook is a crucial skill for diplomats to learn about. The audience we are trying to target are the general public, especially the internet users in other countries, mostly people from 25 to 40, because people who cares about politics or international politics are quite specific. So yeah, so we are teaching the diplomats how to design a message or visual design, to do the visual design to attract the audience within this age. So we also tell the diplomats that they can think about that. They can pretend they are key opinion leaders, or pretend they are academics who are doing local research. So yeah, so we are trying to tell them that your job is not only being a diplomat, your job is being everything to try to communicate with local society, and to be a part of them, to make them feel that we are a community together. And Taiwan is a community together with the local society.
Yeah, I was quite surprised to find that Facebook is so popular in Taiwan and so widely used, because I think it's not as popular in the US now, or?
Yeah, people are switching.
So do you think that when you do training for different platforms, do you actively target certain platforms for certain types of campaigns?
Yeah, we started to put Instagram in our training as well since last year, because we know that people are switching their platform to Instagram, especially for young people. But it also Facebook is still very useful, because like most of our diplomatic allies are from South, like Latin America, so Facebook are still a very strong platform there. So yeah, we try to combine Instagram and Facebook together. And in other occasions, we also provide Twitter training, because Twitter, some of the country, they use Twitter most of the time. So I think social media or digital diplomacy is kind of a complicated skills to learn. You have to learn a lot of different platforms, and whenever there is a new social media platform, you have to know how to use that too. So yeah, we hope that we can find the principle for all the social media platforms, but usually you need to adjust a bit when you are switching the social media platform.
Yeah, so going off that, so what are some of the main skills that you think need to be cultivated when it comes to using Facebook and social media for diplomacy and advocacy?
Yeah, I think the first skill we have to learn is the public message design, because you have to design different message to different audience. It is impossible that you have one message and it can fit into different audience needs in one time. So I think how to design the message, how to understand your audience is the most important skills you have to learn when you want to do digital diplomacy. The skills of writing, or I would say cultural interpretation, is also important, because like if you keep using your original way to write social media posts, or you don't know how to fit into different user habits on different social media platforms, it would be difficult for you to spread out your social media posts, because people in different countries, they have different kinds of way of using social media. For example, when we were working in Vietnam, we noticed that when people want to share a video, they would put titles or the main message of this video on top and at the bottom of it. So their video is not a full screen video. Their video would be is a video with the headlines and the bottom line on it, that people can understand what this video is talking about immediately. So whenever we are posting videos on Vietnamese social media, we will use this framework to produce it. So something like this. So if you want to talk to people on different social media platform or from different country, maybe you should spend some time to observe how they use the social media. And sometimes we also we do local interviews. We do interviews with local people. Whenever we started a project with a foreign society, we would start it from getting around 10 to 30 people to have a real interview with us. We would ask them what fan pages you usually check out, and what kind of topics you are the most interested in, social media, or we will ask them how you interact with your friends on social media. If you collect the information, it will help you. It will also help you to do your digital diplomacy on social media.
So you were mentioning Latin America and then also looking at different foreign audiences. And how do you choose which countries or which audiences you want to target? Do you look at Taiwan's diplomatic relations? For example, you're talking about Honduras. Or what do you use as your barometer or what you want to target?
Sometimes it depends on Taiwanese government's policy. For example, we have the southbound policy. So when we were choosing our target country in 2018 and 19, we follow the southbound policy. And then we will think about, okay, southbound policy, then which Southeastern Asian country we are going to. We choose Vietnam back to the time because the penetration rate of the internet is very high there, and the advertisement fee of Facebook are more affordable for us. You know, if you want to do Facebook advertisement in Singapore or you want to do it in Malaysia, maybe it is higher than doing it in Vietnam. So it really depends on the budget and the government's policy. And also we choose the topics also. For example, we chose medical diplomacy for the Vietnamese project back to the time, because Taiwan is really a good partner on medical cooperation, and Vietnamese social media, they are very interested in all the medical information. So when they match, we just go to the countries. It's like geographic and like social media map. It depends on those reasons.
So we've been talking about digital outreach, but I know that TDDA has also held many in-person events, such as World Cup Taiwan, the Caribbean Culture Festival, and the Norway Project, which consisted of a Norway National Day parade held in Taiwan. So what is the importance of having these events in person, and why does this still fall under the umbrella of digital diplomacy?
I think the one of the core values of TDDA is building trust and real connection with people. That is the way we can develop channels for Taiwan to find our partner or to speak our words. Through the offline events, I think it is a more practical way to build connection with people, especially foreigners in Taiwan. They are the best channels for Taiwan to be friends with other countries. So if we want to be friends with them, we want to build a real connection with them, I think holding events just for specific audience or countries is a way to build connection. So we have events for Norwegian, for Czech Republic people when the delegation group is coming, and we also have football, the World Cup Taiwan is one of the biggest events for foreign community here, like to make the foreigners in Taiwan feeling like they are welcome and they are being at home is very important, because it is the way to motivate them to speak some good words of Taiwan or to tell the story of Taiwan to their people in their own country. So I think when we hold these events, we usually will publish press release to that countries too. For example, when we were holding the Norwegian National Day Parade, we published the press release to Norwegian media, and they feel really interested about our event because they never think about that an Asian country will hold a National Day Parade for Norway. And it was during the pandemic. so we got Norwegian news like this. And when we hold the World Cup Taiwan, Copa America football tournament, we published the story to more than 40 Latin American media. And we even do live broadcasts with Honduran national TV, and we do live broadcasts on Paraguay. They have a government ministry are willing to broadcast our event on their fan page too. So creating offline event is kind of an approach for us for creating story for Taiwan in the international world. And to create a good story or to be a part of their news, you have to engage local audience, which is people from their countries in your event. So this is why we were trying so hard to hold events for foreign community in Taiwan here. Also, sometimes we have events in other countries too. That is how we engage with local media.
Well, thank you so much for giving such a great summary of what TDDA has been doing over these past 5 years. I think that it's really amazing all the things that you've been doing, and really excited to see where TDDA will go from here. So looking forward, can you talk about some of the things that TDDA will be working on this year and some things that are upcoming?
Yeah, our upcoming project, mainly we focus on the cyber defense project this year. And also we are trying to build connection with Eastern European countries too. For example, Czech Republic, they just sent the biggest delegation group ever to Taiwan, and Lithuania, they also tried to approach Taiwan recently. And like Ukrainian organizations, I think we have a lot to learn from each other. So we will focus more on building connection with Eastern European country this year and the cyber defense project too. And also we are developing our volunteer program, because I think cultivating young people who are interested in international efforts is quite important, because international efforts is really an area worth Taiwanese society to invest in. So we have this city diplomacy volunteer program coming this year, and we are looking for our partners from civil society and also from foreign missions to train these young people how to do proposal of city diplomacy, or how to get in touch with foreign organizations this way. Yeah, so yeah, this year we focus more on training and how to share our knowledge to Taiwanese civil society. I hope there will be more and more people devoted themselves into digital diplomacy or international efforts.
If our audience is interested in getting more involved with TDDA, what should they do? Are there any particular ways in which policymakers or academics can help your work?
Yeah, you can go on our Twitter, and our account is DigiDiploLab. DIGIDIPLOLAB. Yeah, I hope I spell it right. Yeah, and or if you are interested in our work or to be our volunteer remotely, you can also send email to talent@tdda.tw. We are open for remote volunteers, so sometimes we collaborate with our foreign volunteers too. And I think for policymakers and academics, if you have channels, for example, social media platforms, or if you know any media would be interested about Taiwan story, you can also introduce to us to provide more channels for us to reach out. Or if you have some international cooperation projects, maybe you can consider Taiwan as a potential partners. Whenever you have some project about Asia, you want to find a partner. And the last thing, I think I would encourage people to show your support about Taiwan on social media, because like in the past few years, I feel there are more and more foreign politicians are willing to show their positions about Taiwan. So if you are willing to say something or to share some news about Taiwan, you can also publish it on your own social media channels. Thank you.
Well, Jai, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Yeah, very nice to talk to you.
Be sure to check out TDDA's Twitter account at DIGIDIPLO Taiwan to get more updates from TDDA and learn about their projects. Thank you so much to Jiayu for joining us and to you, our listeners, for tuning in. This podcast was made possible in part by the Taiwan Academy Spotlight Taiwan Grant. Production assistance is from Adrian Wu and Zaki Atia. Thank you also to our staff and interns for your support in making this episode possible. Intro and background music is by I'm Difficult Wolsher Ji Che Xiaonu. The Global Taiwan Institute is a 501c3 think tank located in Washington, D.C. If you're interested in learning more about GTI, be sure to check out our website at globaltaiwan.org, where you can find information about our Global Taiwan Brief and our frequent public seminars. You can also listen to more episodes of Taiwan Salon on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts, as well as on our website's podcast page. Thank you for listening, and until next time.